Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 20, titled The Dynasty of Puru, Text 16. Om iti ukte yata dharmam upayame sakuntalam gandharva vidina raja deshakala vidanavit. Om iti ukte yata dharmam upayame sakuntalam Gandharva vidina raja Deshakala vidana vid Om ityukte yata dharmam Upaye me sakuntalam Gandharva vidina raja Deshakala vidana vid Om ityukte yata dharmam Upaye me sakuntalam Gandharva vidina raja Deshakala vidana vid Om iti ukte. By reciting the Vedic pranava, invoking the Supreme Personality of Godhead to witness the marriage yata dharmam, exactly according to the principles of religion. Because Narayan becomes the witness. And an ordinary religious marriage also. Upayame, he married Sakuntalam, the girl Sakuntala, Gandharva Vidina, by the regulative principle of the Gandharvas, without deviation from religious principles. Raja Maharaj Dushmanta Deshakala Vidanavit, completely aware of duties according to time, position and objective. Translation: when Shakuntala responded to Maharaj Dushmanta's proposal with silence, the agreement was complete. Then the king, who knew the laws of marriage, immediately married her by chanting the Vedic pranava, Omkar, in accordance with the marriage ceremony as performed among the Gandharvas. Please repeat. When Shakuntala responded to Maharaj Dushmanta's proposal with silence, the agreement was complete. Then the king, who knew the laws of marriage, immediately married her by chanting the Vedic pranava, Omkar, in accordance with the marriage ceremony as performed among the Gandharvas. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Omkar Pranava is the Supreme Personality of Godhead represented by letters. Can everybody hear me okay? Anybody seems a little muffled, can't hear? Okay, just raise your hand. Bhagavad Gita says that the letters of A-U-M combined together as Om represent the Supreme Lord. Religious principles are meant to invoke the blessings and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita that he is personally present in sexual desires that are not contrary to religious principles. The word vidina means according to religious principles. The association of men and women according to religious principles is allowed in Vedic culture. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we allow marriage on the basis of religious principles, but the sexual combination of men and women as friends is irreligious and is not allowed. ओम ज्ञानते मनंदस्य जनंजनाशलाग्य चक्षुर्मिलितमिना तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितामेन भूतले स्वयं भागरामयं ददाति स्वभरणगम् श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगौरराम श्रीसद्गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम Ram Ram Hare Hare. So Bhagavad Gita, well, let me just pick through the purport and repeat the translation. When Sakuntala responded to Maharaj Dushmanta's proposal with silence, the agreement was complete. Then the king, who knew the laws of marriage, immediately married her by chanting the Vedic Pranava Omkar in accordance with the marriage ceremony as performed among the Gandharvas. Purport. Picking to the purport here. The Omkar Pranava is the Supreme Personality of Godhead represented by letters. So, does anybody know where in Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says, I am the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. Chapter, Opulence of the Absolute. 7. That's either 11 or 8. I forgot. 7, 11, or 8. Dear, the letters. So here we have Krishna's the sound in ether. So he creates ether, creates the material world, but he creates ether within the material world. And letters, so we can make sounds. So these letters, the only purpose of these letters is to glorify God. That's the purpose of letters. First letter, Akshar, is that the right name? I think. A refers to Krishna. So these syllables Om, A-U-M, together as Om. U is Radharani, energy of Krishna. And M is the marginal energy. M for marginal. Us, the jivas. So everything's included in the words Om. Here's a nice statement from the Brahmanda Purana. Come on. Here we go. The Nam, Sankirtan, public chanting of Hare Krishna Ma Mantra, delivers a complete revelation of all of spiritual reality. So the name of Krishna, or Om, is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Om particularly is considered by Lord Chaitanya the Mahavakya. The Mahamantra is Om. Yeah. And Shiva comes down, right? Padma Puran, I believe. Or Vishnu Puran, Uttara Khan 6231, states that, my dear Devi, Shiva is speaking, in the age of Kali, I appear as a Brahmana and distort the Vedas. I turn it around, change it around in an atheistic way, similar to the Buddhist philosophy. So, you know, his Shariraka Bhashya, which no devotee is supposed to touch at all. Don't read it, you know. Even a Mahabhagavat can fall down from reading Shariraka Bhashya. It breaks the heart of the devotees. So it's a no-read thing. But within that book, we have Shankaracharya. He has covered the Vedas and changed things around and basically made Om not the Mahavakya, but Tat Tvamasi. You are that. You are the Supreme. So it's important for us to realize that the Mahamantra is Om, none different from Krishna. And, you know, it's another, an ancient Vedic text describes there's a bow. The bow is Om. And the arrow is the living entity. And the target is Krishna. So we use that bow to connect ourselves with Krishna. And the Bhagavad Gita 17:23 purport describes when Om Tat Sat, Om, everything begins, should begin with Om, the Supreme Personality, God, the Eternal, they become means for spiritual elevation. So here we see this marriage being consecrated with just one syllable. No elaborate ceremonies, just Om. It's a powerful power of Om. And why Om? Because they become means of spiritual elevation. The scriptural injunctions, such an objective is indicated. These three words, Om Tat Sat, particularly indicate the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality, Godhead. In the Vedic hymns, the word Om is always found. In 17:24, the verse is as follows. Therefore, transcendentalists undertaking performances of sacrifice, charity, and penance in accordance with scriptural regulations begin always with Om to attain the Supreme. In the purport, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam, quote from Rig Veda, the lotus feet of Vishnu are the supreme devotional platform. The performance of everything on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead assures the perfection of all activity. So, now, you might say, oh, I thought the Maha Mantra was the Hare Krishna Mantra. And it is. Om and the Hare Krishna Mantra are the same. But, in previous yugas, Om was chanted as the primary Mahavakya. But you'll find variety of scriptural texts within the Vedas that say for Kali Yuga, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is more potent, more purifying, is the proper religion in today's age. In fact, there's a statement that says you cannot find within the Vedas, you cannot find a greater religion than the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So it is more effective than Om in today's age. That's why when all the living entities follow Lord Chaitanya all around, thousands and thousands of them trying to, you know, break down the house that he's staying in for his association, he would come out and he wouldn't go Om. He would go Hare Krishna. He would get everybody to chant Hare Krishna because he knows he is the Vedas, right? He's the compiler of the Vedanta. He's the knower of the Vedas. So here's a couple of verses to confirm what I'm saying. The 16 syllables, the 16 names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, destroy all the inauspiciousness of the age of Kali. This is the conclusion of all the Vedas, Kali Santarani Upanishad. And there's a bunch, but here's another one. The holy name of Lord Ram certainly gives liberation, but the holy name of Krishna transports one to the other side of the ocean of nescience, and at last gives one ecstatic love of Krishna. That's from the CC. Well, this is the main one. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This 16-name, 32-syllable mantra is the Maha Mantra in the age of Kali, by which all living beings can be delivered. One should never abandon chanting this Maha Mantra and take to other so-called purificatory processes which are practiced by rascals, or engage in chanting other metrical compositions of the name of Krishna that are against the pure conclusions of the scriptures, or are filled with rasa bhas. About this divinely spiritual Maha Mantra, which delivers one from the material existence, the original guru, Lord Brahma, has said, Kali Santaradi Shruti Shrutit. The Shrutis have declared this mantra to be the best means of deliverance in the age of Kali. Having all heard this from Brahma, the sons and disciples of Brahma, beginning with Narada, all accepted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and having meditated on it, attained perfection. That's from the Ananta Samhita, within it quoting the Kali Santaradi, I don't know if that's a Upanishad or a Puran or what, probably Upanishad. So again, we take the bow, the Hare Krishna mantra, converting that verse to Kali Yuga. And the arrow is us, and Krishna is the target. Now this sounds a little bad. I don't want to shoot an arrow into the heart of Krishna, but you could have it like, not a metal tip, but maybe a lotus flower tip or something. And we chant Hare Krishna to connect with Krishna, to become so deeply lodged into his heart, and to have him lodged so deeply into our heart that it doesn't come out. In fact, they have American Indians. They had bows and arrows when we I'm such a mudha. The Europeans tried to take over America, and you put that arrow in the heart, you're going to die. Why? Because if you try to take it out, you rip your heart. It's already ripped, but you really totally finish it if you pull the heart, the arrow out. So once the arrow goes in, you don't pull it out. So because it's angled, like with a point, and at the end it's got two things like that. So if you were to pull it out, it's going to rip the whole thing out. So, considering this concept, sorry, a little gruesome, but it's a nice analogy. And C.C. Madhya, 2234, Sukrideva Prapanoyas Tavasmiti Chayachate Abhayam Sarvada Tasmai Tadami Etad Vritam Mama. Krishna, or Lord Chaitanya, Lord Ramachandra, I do believe, is quote, anyway, Supreme Personality Godhead says that it is my solemn vow that if one only once, even once, sincerely surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, and praise to me for courage, I immediately award that the person courage, and from that moment on, he remains safe from that moment on. So just a little endeavor goes such a long way with Krishna, right? Havakramana sasti pajavano navijite svapamupyasya dharmasya traitema tobayat. Bhagavad Gita 2:40. There is no loss or diminution in this devotional service. Little advancement can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. It was interesting, when I was really new, I was giving class in Tucson, and somebody showed up out of the blue and said, yeah, I read your book, got it from you, you know, a whole different town, hundreds of miles away. Yeah, saw that in the back, this place, so here I am, I'm surrendered, teach me. Like, wow. All right. And I started giving the class, and I talked about the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. We have to practice this. And he immediately raised his hand, wanted to make a comment. And I thought, this new guy commenting, what is he teaching me? But what he said is lodged into my consciousness for now almost 2 decades. And he said, practice doesn't make perfect. I'm like, okay. He said, perfect practice makes perfect. And I thought, I didn't get put it on the shelf. Listen, Krishna couldn't teach in any way whatsoever. But, you know, it's quite a statement. You know, when you're talking about chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, what do we have to lose here? Krishna is everything. The name is everything. Everything is there. Everything will be provided if we fully meditate upon that name, if we fully attentively chant that name. There'll be no loss. There'll only be complete gain. So why not perfect practice? Why not every syllable? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Why do we have to reserve energy for something else? This is Maya. So anyways, so this, by doing, taking that bow, the Hare Krishna mantra, we shoot ourselves, we connect with Krishna, and we become lodged in Krishna's heart, Krishna says, the saints are in my heart. Another point he says, I recognize only the saints as mine. And the saints are thinking, they're only thinking Krishna is theirs. They don't have another attachment. What is that CC verse? Amaha Bhagavat, pure devotee of the Lord, does not actually see different objects. He notices there's different varieties of sights out there, but he does not really recognize the objects. But actually, everywhere he goes, he sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Right? Ito nishinha parato nishinha yato yato yamitato nishinha bahir nishinha hiraye nishinha shingamadim sharanam papadhi. Krishna's over here and over there, he's within and without. Everywhere I go, Krishna is there. Therefore, I take shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Nishingadeva, the Supreme Refuge, origin of all things, Supreme Shelter. So, it's kind of purport has three different sections. That's my conclusion of Om Kar. And now it says, religious principles are meant to invoke the blessings and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita that he is personally present in sexual desires that are not contrary to religious principles. The word vidina means according to religious principles. The association of men and women according to religious principles is allowed in the Vedic culture. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we allow marriage on the basis of religious principles. So who knows where that statement, Krishna, he has sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles? Anybody know? Bhagavad Gita 7, I am the opulence, the absolute. 7 or 11, sorry. Forgot, mixed up the two. And so there's marriage there. I travel a lot, distribute books, and I met a Muslim devotee, Bhakta Muhammad. He got a book from me, or somehow connected with that, which is, you know, not to brag or anything, it's a very great feeling. Wow, a Muslim became a devotee. And total devotee, super smart, getting his PhD, it's one of the universities. And he's trying to convince the Muslims, friends, you know, you should be a vegetarian. And they're like, there's nothing wrong with meat eating. And they had their arguments. But his argument was, I thought it was very unique. He said, very intelligent. He says, well, if there's no problem with meat eating, then why are there restrictions within your book? You got to have halal, whatever they describe it, so many different arrangements. You just can't just take meat. Why are there restrictions there? So similarly, with sexual pleasure, there are restrictions there. Human life, Prabhupada says, is meant for restrictions. I shouldn't even say the word pleasure. It's like a rasa bas for devotees. But the activity, sorry, is there restricted. And even within the restrictions, you know, one time a month when she's, you know, fertile, and when she's pregnant, sorry, no, and, you know, and when the act doesn't count as service to God unless you raise the child to be Krishna conscious. These are all statements from Prabhupada. It's not like you can take a sow and a hog, pin it in a pen so it can't have other mates. And that activity that they perform, that they're probably going to perform, is service to God. No. And have to raise the kid to become Krishna conscious, to be Krishna conscious. Then the activity counts as service to God. So, you know, there are going to be people performing the activity. So, The restriction is there. Prabhupada says, licit or illicit, there are problems with sex. Of course, illicit sex, we're talking going to hell. But licit, even licit, there are problems. So restriction is there. Human life is meant for restriction, so we can re-enter the kingdom of God. Ideally, we want to catch this Shishi, Krishna Balaram, Kijai. Ideally, we want to catch the spirit of renunciation. If one catches the spirit of renunciation early, one does not have to go through grihastha life. And once you completely avoid, 100%, completely avoid grihamedi life, 100%, not an option. And we see Lord Chaitanya was actually very merciful to the householders. And he would joke with them and play with them. I think he put his toe in one of the kids of Srivas Thakur's mouth, right? Was it Puri? Anyway. And, you know, very favorably disposed to the householders. So this is not a discouragement to give up saffron, but to point out there's a nice pastime that points out how illicit sex, the purport continues, but the sexual combination of men and women as friends is irreligious and is not allowed. So I repeat that, because at least in the West, there are no stopgap measures for your mind like you have in India. In India, perhaps it is lessening because of the Western influence, but in the West, there's none. You have no idea. It's just a one-way trip to hell. The Prabhupada calls the Western civilization a cat and dog society where everybody's trained up to go into a hog's body in their next lifetime. He's not just saying these statements. That's after a long time in hell. You know, they go to hell for God knows how many long. They live in that river, you know, not to mention ripped up in the shreds of the palm trees and chased by those rurus or whatever they are that rip their bodies apart, and tons of things like this, and tossed in this river where you actually, this is the scriptures describe, it's filled with pus and stool and all these awful things, and at first you're like, yuck, 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 but you stay in that river or that lake or whatever it is for a long time. And, you know, a little bit of something gets to your mouth, and you, oh, yuck, oh, yuck. But after a while, you gain it. It just keeps coming by, and after a while, you gain a taste for it. So after a while, you get used to eating pus and stool and all this awful stuff. So that prepares you for your next body, the hog body, where you're going to get slaughtered also. So this is literally the life for most of the world. It's future. So Lord Chaitanya has to play out this pastime. He's forced to. Because if he doesn't play out this pastime, there'll be no stopgap measures. And that's the pastime of Chota Haridas, Junior Haridas. And he was asked by Bhagavan Acharya to go get some rice. Bhagavan Acharya is making lunch for Lord Chaitanya, and he asked, Bhagavan Acharya asked Chota Haridas, could you get some rice from Madhavi Devi? An older lady, very staunch, total devotee, one of the favorites of Lord Chaitanya, the 3.5 favorites, you know, one of the half is Madhavi Devi. So he did. I mean, he just asked for rice, and he got rice. And from this, it doesn't elaborate. But from this activity, Lord Chaitanya asks, well, he's honoring the prasadam, very nice rice. Where'd you get the rice? Oh, we got it from Madhavi Devi. Who got the rice? Chota Haridas. And he keeps honoring prasadam. When he gets back to his room, he calls his servant Govinda. Govinda, from this day on, make sure Chota Haridas is not allowed. He abandoned Chota Haridas' association, or abandoned, restricted from this slight, very slight deviation. The devotees coming to Lord Chaitanya, look, you know, it's a little offense. He's, you know, Chotaridas is fasting for many days. He's suffering. You know, let's say a little offense, you can forgive him, right? He's like, no. I do not have control of my mind. In other words, his religious principles guide him. He has to make this decision. And so he... And they come back and ask him again. He says, if you guys bring this up again, I'm leaving. So they never talk about it again. And then the devotees give up even thinking of women in their dreams and become very strict and very staunch, because they see how this mixing of the men and the ladies as friends is irreligious and is not allowed. This slight little thing. And of course we know Chota Haridas gets his association finally by leaving his body. And now this does not mean that we need to do that same activity of, but the principle is there, Prabhupada's guru, in other words, don't do anything crazy. Lord Chaitanya, though, I mean Krishna, Prabhupada, his guru gives a commentary on this event because it seems a little rough. But his commentary is that basically Lord Chaitanya has to act this way, has to provide this. Otherwise, that stopgap measure will be broken. And Sahajiyas will flourish with their thinking, and the whole world will go to hell. So, nice pastime to help us remind ourselves that Prabhupada said, I mean, in the West, I mean, who didn't have a girlfriend before they joined? And so many times, you know, that would be the one of the drawbacks to joining. Well, you know, I got this girlfriend, right? I hear that 1,000 times. Trying to make a devotee. Yeah, this is all great, but you know, I got this girlfriend. Well, Prabhupada says girlfriend, boyfriend means prostitute. That's what it is. Boyfriend, girlfriend, it's a prostitute. It's a free prostitute. That's what it is, and it's nothing more than that. So, hearing these statements helps us to see things through the eyes of the Shastras, through the eyes of the Guru and Sadhus, so that we can take spiritual life to the degree that we actually need to attain the goal of life. Remember, Lord Chaitanya doesn't come around too often, right? Very, very, very rarely. He was just here. Somebody like Prabhupada, they're very rare. He was just here. We got all of his books. We got all of ISKCON. Everything's like perfect situation for us. We don't want to mess it up. But this is generally how devotees end up leaving. This is the mixing. And Prabhupada is making it very clear that, I'll repeat it, the association of men and women according to religious principles is allowed in the Vedic culture. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we allow marriage on the basis of religious principles. But the sexual combination of men and women as friends is irreligious and is not allowed. So, restriction is there. Because we are not that strong. And, I've already elaborated a little bit about how the West is and how India seems to be gravitating towards, although, you know, ISKCON's powerful here, maybe they can stomp it out. But in India. But really in the West. It's, in fact, Indians, they come over, not all, but my God, the percentage is huge. They come over from Mayapur, wherever, these living in a holy place their whole life. And within months, they become alcoholics. You never see them again. On and on and on. It's really bad. It's severe. So it's important for us to have these checks and balances within our mind. And we spoke about the letters of the syllables are there to glorify God. Well, those syllables within our minds, they should do the same. We should work at that. And when we catch ourselves having syllables that are not in line with Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, just stop. It's okay if you unconsciously have that arise, but it's not okay to entertain it. So we have to, when we become conscious of it, we have to stop and return back to making these syllables in glorification of Krishna. So I like to read something that Prabhupada said regarding preaching in the West, particularly that, you know, I mean, we got the lockdown, we don't see the faces of, I mean, we might have our own suffering in our mind, but I mean, this is incredibly blissful. It's very difficult to have too much troubles here, especially the nice management, keeping everything going so nicely. And Krishna just being so beyond present in Vrindavan, of course. He never leaves Vrindavan. But we should remember that I'll just summarize it this way. Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur has a book. I forgot the name of it. It's his commentary in the 10th canto. And within that, within the commentary regarding where Devaki has Krishna in the womb, I believe, or whatever, in the mind, and Kamsa wants to kill. So it's described that the restrictor of knowledge will be annihilated. And he also uses the analogy that one who has knowledge that does not share it will be, the knowledge will annihilate such a person. A heavy duty statement, but it's true. You have the knowledge, you don't share it. You restrict the flow of that knowledge. That knowledge wants to be shared. That knowledge is non-different from Krishna. Krishna wants all of his living entities back in the spiritual world like anything. He doesn't come down here for any other purpose, for the most part. Radharani, the topmost servitor, is thinking, how do I get the gopis to be with Krishna? The gopis experience many, many times more ecstasy than bringing Radharani to Krishna, than them to directly associate with Krishna. And Krishna himself experiences a lot more greater ecstasy, by serving himself in the form of Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of the gopis, than he does in receiving that service. So this is the paradox of spirituality. You know, without this element to our life of sharing this knowledge, Prabhupada defines the Hare Krishna movement in one sentence. His definition is, this is a conversation with Hari Sari Prabhu, he defines the Hare Krishna movement as, hey rascal, please become Krishna conscious. That's his definition of the Hare Krishna movement. In other words, it's preaching. Of course, you might not want to use those exact words if you like your teeth. But it's, hey, you wonderful being, you. You're so smart. Now please give it all up and take this book and give me a donation, read it, become a devotee. What? This is the definition of the Hare Krishna movement. It doesn't have to be a book distribution, even though Prabhupada did say that all of our activities in this Krishna consciousness movement end in this one activity of book distribution. It's all for ending in one activity, book distribution. He did state that. But it's a cultural conquest, you know. You're taking care of the cows is a statement. You're mopping the temple floor so people can see the deities. All this leads to the gaining of knowledge. So it's, you know, it's a broad picture. So my point being that we have our sadhana, but we have to add the element. We have to do our sadhana. We can't just give up that. But we have to share. So here is just a nice statement of Prabhupada. It's in a purport. Those who, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, should take the Lord's mission most seriously. In this age of Kali, people are gradually becoming less than animals. Nevertheless, although they are eating the flesh of cows and are envious of Brahminical culture, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considering how to deliver them from this horrible condition of life. Thus he asks all Indians to take up his mission. Bharata bhumite aila manushya janmayar jama sattakakari karapara upakara. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatvarsa, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. CC Ayodhya 941. It is therefore the duty of every advanced and cultured Indian to take this cause very seriously. All Indians should help the Krishna consciousness movement and its progress to the best of their ability. Then they will be considered real followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in order to be a real follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to preach. We have to care about other living entities. And both have to be there. If we're in the mood of, I mean, HD Goswami, Ridharananda Goswami, you know, amazingly intelligent, awesome devotee. He spent a lot of time with Prabhupada. And he makes the comment, even when Prabhupada was joking around sometimes and doing all kinds of things, I could see that he never once forgot the mission that his guru asked him to perform. Never once, even when he was joking and playing with the devotees on occasion. Never once. In other words, all that joking and playing was for the purpose of fulfilling that mission. So, having this mood and this, you know, mode of operandi, one can consider oneself, well, not me, but one, according to this purport, one can consider ourselves a follower of Lord Chaitanya, following in his footsteps. And this is required to get the mercy. It's the mood of the gopis, topmost, even Uddhava, topmost devotee outside of Vrindavan. Krishna is arranging for him to go to Vrindavan to experience. Krishna wants him to experience something. Wants him to go higher. What is that higher? He goes there and he sees the love of the Vrajvasis and is blown away. They don't care about themselves at all. They just only purely love Krishna. Now, when I say we don't care about ourselves, not let me neglect our sadhana and all that, but it's a higher level that we should all be striving for. And so much so, Uddhava is moved that he becomes a blade of grass in Vrindavan. His desire is to become a blade of grass, to get stepped on by the feet of the gopis, to get their blessings. So I'll stop here, and thank you for tolerating me, but I would like, we have 9 more minutes, 8, for any comments or questions. You all are amazing souls, much more advanced than myself, and by hearing anything from you all, I will make nice advancement. So please give me your mercy. Yes, Prabhu. A little closer, please.
Yeah, what I was going to say is that it's an outstanding class. Thank you, appreciate it. And it's agreeable on essential points. At the same time, in relation And one aspect of it is to understand that there is a defense against genuine claims. And the first one is an essential blaspheme of devotees. That's the most heaviest offense. It's a blaspheme of devotees that dedicated their lives for the propagation of the names. And why are we mentioning this? Because we can conclude, or it can be concluded, that the art of Bhakti Yoga is simple. Shiva Bhakti always taught us that it's simple, you chant Hare Krishna, take the sadhu. At the same time, and also we can conclude that it's very deep. So we just wanted to think of that in there, that in relation to having Hare Krishna, very simple, at the same time it's deep. At the same time, these 10 offenses, how to avoid it. At the same time, it's very, very deep. So, anyways, we just wanted to add that.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Any other comments or questions? Prabhu, can you enlighten us further? Nice senior personality. Now, can we get this?
In this morning, I was here in Prabhupada's class, and Prabhupada, he said that he will be going to Dallas with Pavitram. He will be purified, Baba said. So Baba said, who is Pavitram? Baba said, he called the person Param Brahma, Param Brahma, Pavitram Brahma. So Baba said, so, and how are we going to Dallas with Pavitram? Because Pavitram is the Supreme Pure Krishna. So then Baba said, yes, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra,
thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. Bye-bye. For chanting?
Time limits for chanting.
Time limits?
Yeah.
Absolutely none.
And 24 hours will be chanting.
What's that?
24 hours will be chanting.
Yes. In fact, I have to get all the references, but it's definitely stated that as we do our service, maybe mopping the floor, rolling the chapatis, cutting the vegetables, all, Prabhupada's Guru says, all that should be accompanied with the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So, 24/7. Yeah. And this is really important. I remember, it was a nice story. Well, I might not make devotee look favorable there. My own personal story. I was filled with so much, still am, so much pratishtha nonsense, that one nice devotee, very nice devotee I was traveling with, I would always get frustrated with him because I would do things kind of quicker, mode of passion-ish. And he would always kind of do things very methodically, a little slower. And I would get frustrated, and sometimes I'd perform some operas. And I realized somewhere along the way that the whole time he was doing his service, he was memorizing the entire Bhagavad Gita. He memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita. He would go out on Sankirtan and go, pick a verse, I'll tell you what it is. And it really impressed people, and then sell the books that way. So I wasn't memorizing verses, I wasn't chanting Hare Krishna. But if we add the chanting of the Hare Krishna to all of our service, whatever it is, 24/7, we really, really make rapid progress. And we, because it requires a higher level of attentiveness, there's no energy for, you know, making operas. There's not even a thought, you know. Well, I don't want to miss out on these syllables. You know, we got Tarnata P. Sunichi, and then we really apply wearing that third Shikshastika verse around the neck. And we really, really make rapid progress. So thank you for bringing that up. I wanted to share that. You reminded me. I don't know if I cut you off, though, or not. If I did, please continue. And I wanted to share that too, that Prabhupada said, we must, thank you, this is Krishna's arrangement. There's two things I wanted to point out, the last one and this one, that Prabhupada said we must read at least 1 hour a day of his books, minimum, at least 1 hour. Now if you're really busy, make it up, 3 hours one day and you know, or more, missed a couple days. But at least on the average, 1 hour a day, minimum, of reading Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada says. Thank you very much. Otherwise, we're gonna not understand what we're doing and why. You know, it'll pervade our entire life, our spiritual life. But the more we read, the more these subtle, intricate things get cleared out, like cobwebs in the consciousness, gets cleared out. And then our service becomes so much more potent. Chai. And if you want, well, I don't know if I should bring this up, but they did a survey of our leaders, how much they read. It definitely doesn't include all of them, but on the average, you'd be shocked as to how low it was. So if you want to see the society flourish, just read a lot. Become a strong leader. You really be able to lead well. All right? And chanting 24/7 on all activity. That's the conclusion of reading Prabhupada's books. Jai. Thank you again for tolerating me. You all are so wonderful. Thank you for the wonderful kirtans. Wonderful everything, incredible deity worship, such nice devotees. Sorry for all my offenses. Shri Radha Shamashundar Krishna Balaram Gornitai Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaura Premanam Hari Hari Bhagavatam.